I don't know if it's in honor of the NFL season, but I got a great big clock back there, so I know exactly what time it is at all times. I have a feeling this is some cheesehead accountability going on back there. I don't know. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome. Glad you could be here this morning. For those of you who've just kind of visiting with us today, we've been actually doing a series over the last few weeks called simply called Test the Spirits. Okay? One of the things that we find out in the Scripture is, you know, one of the reasons we have pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, all those ministry gifts like where we're here on a Sunday morning is to help in verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the body of Christ, a lot of things that can kind of wigwag us around. And so it is important, as John, declares, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets. So we see there's a connection between testing the spirits and teaching have gone out into the world. My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Weigh carefully and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. And so what we've said, over the last few weeks is that we have a responsibility to test the spirits, all right? To be able to look at what it is that I'm hearing and decide, is this of God? Is this right? Do I want to swallow this? Teaching is like spiritual food. Do I want to put this in my mouth or not? And so what we've done is, in terms of testing the spirits, I've just come up with a four-question test, if you will, some basic guidelines. And these are just guidelines, to be quite honest, over the last 30 years that I have used and have really developed in my own heart as I look at something, a teaching or a doctrine or something like that, and to really know whether something is, whether it passes the test or not. And so the first thing we said, and we'll just kind of zip through, it's a four-point test, but I'll kind of reiterate the first three questions just so we can get on board together in terms of how to test the spirits. And the first one is, do you have the freedom to be spirit-led? This is a very, very important aspect of your Christianity. This is a huge aspect of the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. God has put the Spirit of God on the inside of you to help you to know what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes if people will come up and they'll give you their doctrine and you just got to believe it because I'm the prophet of God and I said it and that should be good enough, you want to be very leery of that. You always have and should always have the ability, like a good Berean, the Apostle Paul preached to Berea, and Paul said, these were more fair-minded than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In other words, Paul was saying, these Bereans challenged my preaching with the Word of God. They're good folks. Paul wasn't insecure about his preaching and his teaching being challenged. In fact, he commended them for checking things out in the Word of God to make sure it's so. No preacher, minister should be demanding belief apart from you having the freedom to check things out. And by the Spirit of God, this is such an important aspect. You have the witness of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God, and the Spirit of God doesn't stop there. He'll bear witness and lead and guide you into all truth. Sometimes there's things you just don't know why they're wrong, but you just got to check in your heart. Stay with that check. Stay with it. I don't care if the person knows more Scripture than you do. Stay with that check. Sometimes there's things you're just going to put on the back burner. I got to check, and until I get more understanding, I'm not going to act on it. I'm not going to run with it. I'm going to wait it out. That's okay. That's good. If you're going to test the Spirit, whoever is telling you whatever better give you the freedom to be Spirit-led. If they don't, then you've got a new Lord. Because that's the way it'll come across. No, it just says this in the Word. Don't get ooey-gooey with your little feelings. This is the way you divide the Word of truth. End of story. Obey it or not. No. You need to run from that. I don't care if it's correct. Run from it. You don't need to be put under bondage to another person. You always, always have the freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit. This is a great little song. Came out, boy, probably 20 years ago. It was an old newsboy song. It's called Spirit Thing. It's not a family trait. It's nothing that I ate. And it didn't come from skating with holy rollers. It's an early warning sign. It keeps my life in line. But it's so hard to define. Never mind. It's just a spirit thing. It's a holy nudge. It's like a circuit judge in the brain. It's a spirit thing. It's here to guard my heart. It's just a little hard to explain. It pushes when I quit. It smells a counterfeit. Sometimes it works a bit like a teleprompter. When it's teleprompting you, I pray you'll let it through. And I'll help you with the how, but for now, it's just a spirit thing. It's a holy nudge, like a circuit judge in the brain. Spirit thing, there to guard my heart, little hard to explain. That little something-something is the Holy Spirit in you. And no preacher, no teacher should ever give nobody the right to override that. You've always got the ability to check in on the inside. People who get wrapped up in cults, they don't have the freedom to check inside anymore. If somebody mocks the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's just some ooey-gooey thing and feelings and all that. No. Yeah, can we get off into feelings? Certainly, you know, you can get off in feelings and things like that because your flesh doesn't want to hear what the Word has to say. That's one thing. You know, we'll get into lining up with Scripture. But there is the anointing that abides within. You need not that any man teach you. That anointing teaches you all things. Doesn't mean you know everything, but there's an anointing that abides within that'll say right, wrong, red, green. You got that. I don't care if you're a baby in the Lord. I don't care if you've been serving God for 50 years. You always have the freedom to check in on the inside. Test question number one in testing the spirits. Is this ministry giving me the freedom to check things out? Should always have the freedom to check things out. Testing the spirits. Another step number two of the test. Does it produce the fruit of love? The fruit of love. You know, there's two powerful tests as you're eating and feeding on something. There's all kind of spiritual doctrine out there that's rooted in weird stuff that'll make you more spiritual than everybody else, and you're kind of looking down on people, and you can be lost in a place of spiritual pride and ego and not even know you're there. If you've been living for God very long, we've all had our little tangents from time to time. And we've all got off on things from time to time. But one of the things you got to ask as you're following, as you're working at things, is it producing the fruit of love? You know, there's two very powerful truths as it relates to you becoming spiritual. All right? One of them is in 1 Corinthians 13. I could speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but if I don't have love, sounding brass, clanging gong. I could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, that I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Bestow all my goods to feed the poor, give my body to be burned, but no love profits me nothing. Well, what is love? Suffering long, kind, not envying, not parading itself, not puffed up, not behaving rudely, not seeking its own, not provoked, thinks no evil, doesn't rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, in the Corinthian church, there were some serious spirituality contests going on when you read that whole book. And the Apostle Paul's kind of bringing some, hey, are you really spiritual? Good. You got the gift of prophecy? Do you understand all mysteries? That plus no love equals nothing. As you are feeding, as you are developing, as you are walking in some things, is it producing the love of God in you? Or you could even just say in a more general sense, you know, is it producing the fruit of the Spirit? If you are genuinely walking in the Spirit, you will genuinely produce the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Ah. You gotta say, in other words, you know, we've kind of had the saying that's kind of gone around lately with different aspects. How's that working for you? All right, you're the most spiritual person in the world. You're waiting for all your friends to catch up with you, and you're kind of going down the road. How's that working for you? Kind of lonely at the top, isn't it? And what am I talking about? I'm talking about testing the Spirit. Spiritual ego is a hot button. Heresy is a more intoxicating thing than alcoholism, adultery, fornication, all that stuff put together. There's nothing quite like going from depression and frustration and anxiety to being super spiritual the next day on higher revelation that nobody else has instantaneously. No love walk, no prayer, nothing. You're just there because you know something and you've divided the word in such a way. I'll tell you what, when you divide the word in such a way that's right, it's going to produce love in you. You come to reality that you're growing up spiritually in a lot of compassion and grace and mercy for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you get a hold of something and it's really God and it's really true, it's going to cause you to suffer long even more and be more gracious and work with each other. That's what real maturity does. It has the ability to love. And I'm telling you, these are just things that you got to say, how is this affecting me? How is this affecting me? Is this really causing me? Am I bearing the fruit of the Spirit? That's what mature believers look like. They have a lot of that. That's what it looks like when somebody walks with God. There's a lot of that going on in their spirit. It develops that. It produces that. And when somebody is coming at you and somebody has a doctrine, you need to say, is that what I want to look like? Is that what I want to be like? It should look like, you know, that was the thing about Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. I am meek and lowly in heart. That's how Jesus describes himself. I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. And you'll learn of me. If you're going to be like him, these characteristics, these qualities will be there. And that's what he even said in James. The wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, willing to hear the other side. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of those who make peace. So in other words, when something is really of a right spirit, God is love. There's going to be a quality of love about it, a graciousness about it. And we're not talking about sin is okay. Well, obviously, we've kind of been through this before in our next point. But it doesn't mean that sin is okay. That does not what love is. But love is, as what it is defined here, love is suffering long and being kind, not behaving rudely, being able to keep your flesh under. That's love. Praise God. So you're going to listen. You're going to test for the fruit of the Spirit. Is this producing these qualities in my life? You know, the love, joy, peace, patience, you know, kindness, goodness. And then third was a loyalty to the truth. All right? Loyalty to the truth, which is basically saying, you know, ultimately everything is going to line up with the Word of God. And we just talked, and this is kind of where we're going to. In the last days, the Spirit expressly says, people are going to depart from the faith and give heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. Verse 3, the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In other words, what Paul is saying is that in the last days, we're not going to have word-oriented doctrine. We're going to have desire-oriented doctrine, and the teachers are going to come along later to validate it. I'll heap up a teacher to tell me what I want to hear, but it's really according to my desires. You know, you can decide what you already believe about God and then go into the Bible and find those scriptures to try to validate it. But when you have a loyalty to the truth, you go into the Word of God saying, Lord, here I am. Show me your Word. I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just my favorite scriptures. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's a loyalty, like we said, there's a loyalty to the truth. And what we found out, what would happen, Paul was saying, Paul said that, you know, what would happen was that people would come in and they would distort the truth. So when we're talking about loyalty to the truth as believers, you got to realize that truth gets distorted, like looking at a funny mirror in a carnival. There's truth there, but it's not rightly divided, and it can look strange. And so you have to realize and also have a test, is this distorted truth or is it good truth? And one of the great ways that we can kind of test that, some of the basic things that the Apostle Paul gives us in terms of kind of testing that is to test the doctrine of it. He said, you know, in the last days, people are going to become, walking after the flesh, you know, where certain men have crept in unnoticed long ago, marked for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord, our only Lord Jesus Christ. Here's an example. People will come in and take the grace of God and they can actually twist it and distort it. You know,
sometimes people say hyper grace. It's not really hyper grace, it's a distorted grace. You know, there can be things where people can take a message and apply it in ways that it just wasn't ever meant to be applied, that doesn't line up with the rest of Scripture. Some godless people have slipped in unnoticed among us, persons who distort the message about the grace of our God in order to excuse their immoral ways, who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, their only Master and Lord. Long ago, the Scriptures predicted the condemnation they have received. So there's a loyalty to the truth. Truth can get distorted. You got to go back to the Word of God. We said doctrine can get distorted. The gospel itself can get distorted. And that's where you got to check things. Paul said, man, if I come back and preach to you another gospel that I haven't preached, let him be accursed. And so we got to stay with the true gospel. Things can get messed up. And we got to have the freedom to be able to search the Scriptures, to go to the Word of God, and to judge things appropriately. So you got to have the freedom to be Spirit-led. You got to have, you know, does it pass the Spirit-led test? Does it pass the love test? What is this producing in me? All right. And then also the Scripture test. Do I have the freedom to search the Scriptures? Does it line up with the rest of Scripture? All right. I know there's a truth here, but you know that truth has to line up with the rest of Scripture. If there is other Scripture that seems to contradict it, we don't pass it off. We hold everything accountable. Everything has to be able to be rightly divided properly. And then finally, Christ-centered. You know, we actually had this Scripture kind of came out even in the Word this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God. Christ-centered. When you test the spirit of something, and it's really God, it's going to really draw attention to Jesus. You're going to be going, praise Jesus, yay Jesus. When people have doctrines or things that are not right and the spirit isn't right, it'll draw attention to the person. It'll draw attention to that man or woman of God. And thank God we need men and women of God who teach us and minister the word. But the spirit behind it, you'll notice that it's cultivating a dependency upon a person instead of helping to facilitate your dependency on Jesus. You know, we're here really as a pastor, as a minister. My heart for you is to really know him and have a strong personal walk with the Lord. That you know him and you know his voice and you are led of his spirit and you're reading the word and you're getting stuff. Praise God, as a pastor, I am not here for you to look to me as the answer, as like your priest between you and God. I am not. I'm here and it's you and God and I'm just trying to help facilitate your walk with the Lord. I want it Christ-centered. When ministers and people and ministries who testing the spirits, if it seems to be like, you got to look unto me. And a lot of times when this happens, if it's not Christ-centered, there's almost kind of a discouragement about the Word. You know, there's not a strong enough emphasis about study the Word, check things out. It's kind of watch the broadcast. Watch the broadcast. If you're finding and you're reading the Bible and going, wow, how does that reconcile with my theology? How does that reconcile with that teaching? I better watch the broadcast. If you find yourself needing to watch the broadcast, watch the broadcast, watch the broadcast, you might want to think, who am I looking unto? You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You got the Word of God right here. You can pray, and you can get things by the Spirit of God. You know, people who have their different theologies, they've got all their explanations for the things in the Scriptures that don't line up with it. They got their explanations. But just because somebody gives you an explanation, it doesn't mean you have to be satisfied with that explanation. You can say, no, not good enough. Doesn't satisfy my spirit. You have the right to do that. You have the right to check in on the inside to be satisfied. You know, you got to check those things out in your own spirit, in your own heart. Because we're ultimately looking unto him. And when you're looking unto him, it's going to cultivate a dependency upon him. In other words, you want to cultivate a dependency upon Jesus. He is the finisher of your faith. I'm not the finisher of your faith. I can stand up here, I can preach a sermon, I can minister the Word of God, but even if you get something that's right and it's of God this morning, it's going to be because the Spirit in you bears witness that it's true. You go, wow, that's good, that's right. It's, you didn't know that because of your brain. You knew that because of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we would be so dumb spiritually. And that's what the Scripture says. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. The reason why you're a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, is because you've got the Spirit of God inside you, bearing witness to truth. So ultimately, even when you get something in a sermon I preach, that's Him finishing your faith by the Spirit of God in you. And praise glory to God. That's what Jesus said. When the Spirit of truth has come, He said, He will glorify Me. Right? Jesus said that when He will glorify Me. In other words, you're going to be praise God, glory to God when you get something. It just naturally does that because that's what the Spirit of God does. And so we're talking about something that, you know, when you test the spirit of it, is this Christ-centered? Is this causing me to more deeply fall in love with Jesus and think about Jesus and cultivate my walk with Jesus? Is it a means to that end? And that's something where you're testing the spirit of something. Here's where the Apostle Paul is giving us some warnings. He's saying, let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from which all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. In other words, the Apostle Paul knows, he kind of starts off this chapter by saying, hey, look, you're complete in Him. You're complete in Christ as a believer. Don't let somebody come along here and judge you in some of these things. This is where we got doctrines going along today and doctrines back then, where people would judge people as substandard, missing the mark, you know, some sub-level deal, you know, because they weren't observing some things as Christians. And, you know, Paul is saying, don't let people put you in condemnation over this stuff. Don't let people judge you. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels. Here's some a commentary on this that I thought was kind of well put. Fullness and freedom mean that believers need not be drawn into the quest for exciting experiences. Apparently, the false teachers were telling the believers at Colossae that mystical visions and deeper experiences were necessary to make them truly spiritual. Once again, Paul brings the issue back to Christ. Paul says this kind of spiritual quest is in fact a dangerous distraction. The person loses connection with the head from whom the whole body grows. The vision becomes the focus. Jesus becomes secondary. Paul does not want Christians to be robbed of assurance and made to feel unspiritual, unfaithful, in need of something extra, something more and higher than the cross. This quest for super spiritual experience, like legalism of the previous verses, fosters pride. The experienced seeker delights in false humility, but his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Believers may have spiritual experiences of varying kinds. Experiences themselves are not evil. When we try to make our experience the standard for all believers, or when we measure our own or someone else's spirituality on the basis of that experience, we are being arrogant and unspiritual. Christ is central, not rules, not experiences. Christ. We're a charismatic church. We believe, we had tongues and interpretation this morning. We believe in the supernatural move of the Spirit of God, but I'll tell you what, I don't care about tongues, interpretation of tongues, visions. The only thing I care about spiritual gifts and all that stuff is what's being said. We had a vision, big deal. What was said? We had tongues and interpretation of, big deal. What was said? I mean, I don't mean to undermine them. I thank God for them. We need them and we want to flow with them and have great experiences. But it's not about experiences for experiences' sake. And this is where charismatics get into a ditch. We think we got something because of the experience. It's all you're doing is facilitating a word of the Lord. That's the functional purpose of any of the gifts of the Spirit. Well, you can have healings, different things, but any as far as the revelational gifts and different things like that, it's what's being said. What's being said. I love spiritual gifts. I shared probably a month or two ago about a dream I had, a spiritual dream about the return of Christ, and praise God. It's not the fact that you had a dream. It's what was said. What was said, and what did that do to my faith? Did it bring edification? You know, you don't get any badges or credentials for having spiritual gifts. I had a vision. Oh, I had three tongues and interpretation of tongues. Wow, look at your deal. It means nothing. All that matters is what was said. I'm listening for what was said. And if we don't have a tongues and interpretation of tongues, I don't need it on a certain frequency to feel like, well, we're spiritual plugged in. No, not at all. I'm listening to what is said. When you get focused on the experience, you get your mind off of Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The Bible says, earnestly covet gifts of the Spirit. Earnestly desire them. We desire them. We pray for them. We want them to flow as the Spirit wills in this church. But the reason why we earnestly covet them, the reason why we earnestly desire them, is because we're looking unto Jesus and we want everything He has for us. Whether it's the preaching of the Word, whether it's a spiritual gift, or whatever that avenue is. I'm not earnestly coveting for the sake of them. I earnestly covet them because I want Jesus and I want everything He has for me. But Jesus is center and focused. It's about Jesus, really. I mean, everything is a means to that end. If there's a spiritual gift in operation, it's because Jesus wants to say something. And never be caught up by the dramatic and the flair of things. Listen to what is said. Listen to what is said. That's something that I've appreciated about Kenneth Hagin. You know, he's had various visions, but he is the first to completely, you know, diminish the drama of the vision. He's saying, you know, when I had a vision, he said, I didn't expect that to happen to me any more than I expected to be the next man on the moon. You know, I wasn't doing anything weird. And, you know, it's just these things will happen. They'll function as the Spirit wills. And it's not a matter of trying to, wow, I had a vision. No, what was said? What did God say? The experience and things like that are not what make you more spiritual, because this is what happens. This is why I say test the spirits. Because somebody will come along and say, I had a vision and God showed me this. And you'll think, wow, well, they had a vision. That must be right. No. Do you know there are people who will intrude into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds? There are people who make stuff up and say, God told me. Who make stuff up and say, I had a vision. Make stuff up and say, I had a dream. It's important for us to know that and for us to realize we've got the freedom to judge that. I don't have to believe every heaven story I hear. All right? I'm not talking again like last year. I'm not that I got a chip on my shoulder and I'm coming down, but I got the freedom to believe or not believe. And if you're going to judge me as being unspiritual for not believing, you know, I'll use a phrase a lot of times. I'll say, if you really want to stay on track with God, you got to lose some spirituality contests along the way. And what am I saying? I'm basically saying verse 16 and verse 18. Let no one judge you in food or drink. What does that mean? Does that mean you're going to win an argument against somebody who has a real adamant belief about a certain festival? No. They're going to still judge you and they're going to say you're not following this festival. You're not really getting the fullness of Christ. You say, no, I don't believe that. You say, well, you're missing God, whatever. Well, okay, fine. Go on down the road. You know, I'm not going to fight and have a bunch of arguments and strife and, you know, like Paul told Timothy, don't get into all that stuff. It just subverts the hearers, all right? But in my heart, I'm not judged. In my heart, I'm not water off a duck's back. Praise God. You know, on the outside, it might look like, well, you win. You win the spirituality contest, I lose. Praise God. Going on down the road, keeping my peace and keeping focused in Jesus. That's what it looks like in real life when you let no one judge you. But they're going to think I'm big deal. I'm not going to let them judge me. It's not winning an argument with the person. It's in your heart being able to go on down the road, even knowing that they are judging you, that you're free. And my heart isn't condemned. And I'm not trying to make them understand where I'm, well, I mean, I can in love, I can try some things, but I don't have to have their approval. I don't need them. I'm going to stay connected to Jesus. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Don't you believe that this is the deeper spiritual stuff? Well, maybe it is, and praise God, if it bears witness of my spirit, man, I'll walk in it. But if it doesn't, I'm not going there. Or maybe, like I said, sometimes it's a back burner stuff. You're going to put it on the back burner and say, you know what, Lord, I don't quite know. I can see some merit there, some things I'm not quite sure about. Lord, I'm going to put this on the back burner. You know, that you could put it this way, according to Proverbs. I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways and let you direct my path on this one. I don't have a clear witness of red or green, and so I'm just lifting it up to you and just saying, show me. If there's something out of that you need me to know, then show me by the Spirit of God. You know, I'm not really judging it either way. I'm reserving judgment on that because I just don't really have a solid deal. And that happens a lot. You know, you may think, yeah, there could be something to it. And God could bring it back later and say, yeah, that's good. That's right. Oh, well, praise God. Or, nope, that was off. But don't feel like you got to know one way or the other right then. You might really just think, it could provoke you to think a little bit more and to search the scriptures more. That's great. So there's, we want to be Christ-centered. We don't want to be experience-centered as far as that goes. I'm going to go on here. Also, not only do we not want to be, we want to be Christ-centered, not experience-centered. We also want to be Christ-centered, not preacher-centered. We dare not classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. In other words, the Apostle Paul had his distractors. You know, you think, wow, this is the great Apostle Paul. No, back then, the Apostle Paul had the super apostles, who are much greater than the Apostle Paul, who had deeper revelation than the knowledge than the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul had to deal with those in his day, his super apostles. And so we kind of look back now and think, wow, that's amazing. How could anybody be taken in for that? But yes, it happened then, it happens now all the time. People will come in, and here's kind of a key. Here's kind of a key at how that can happen. This is the verse 10:10 in a few different translations. For his letters, they say, they're talking about Paul, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. The message, his letters are brawny and potent, but in person, he's a weakling and mumbles when he talks. The Living Bible, don't bother about his letters, some say. He sounds big, but it's all noise. When he gets here, you will see that there's nothing great about him, and you have never heard a worse preacher. Now, there's a key here. I mean, you can judge the oratory ability of a preacher, all right? And you can appreciate an oratory ability of a preacher, but you never judge truth based on the oratory ability of a preacher. The super apostles were probably a little bit more slick. They probably had a little bit better skill in their communication, in their orientation, in their ability to communicate things. Maybe they used humor in a certain way, and they were able to do things and be dramatic and exciting in ways that it just captured people, and it brought them in, it got them worked up, and wow. You know, and Paul's over here, you know, talking about, you know, things and maybe not quite saying it as articulate and things like that. We're talking about testing the spirits. You're not testing the oratory ability of the preacher. You're testing, I don't care how slick and sound or how fragmented or not together, I'm listening to what's being said and I'm judging the words. I'll take plain Jane vanilla truth over smooth talking sexy heresy any day. But I'm just saying, you're going to have to look past the exterior if you're going to test the spirit of something. Not good enough to be made to laugh and to cry and to tell a story. I want to hear the word. I'm listening for the words that are being said. How does this reconcile with the word of God? Great, if you got some oratorio capabilities. Good, that's God. Fine, that can help facilitate some things. Nothing wrong with it. It doesn't mean that you're off because, you know, it's not. I'm just saying, you got to judge. What did Paul say about ourselves? We take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How much more do you take every preacher's word and you bring it into captivity? In fact, it's his word is going to register as a thought in your head in just a second. So you are actually taking his words into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You're listening to what's being said. And you're listening on the inside. That was one of Paul's downfalls, I guess. He lost some people because somebody came in that had some better speaking ability than he did. And people fell for it. People fall for it today. You got to listen to what's being said. You can appreciate a speaker's ability to speak, but ultimately, what's being said? We saw before how Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light, and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. The authority on righteousness. Make sure when somebody comes across as authority on righteousness, that their words line up with Scripture. an angel of light. There is an appearance. There is a facade. All right? But if we're going to test the spirit, we got to look past how things are being said and make sure we're grabbing the content of what's being said and ask, how does that fit? Very easy to get persuaded, especially if you're around a bunch of other people. Thousands of people are swept up. Big deal. I'm listening to what's being said. Praise God. If it blesses me, praise God. I'll praise God with the thousands. But ultimately, I am listening. Jesus said, many will come in my name, deceiving many. So the majority isn't right. You got to judge things. But this is important. You have the freedom. You are empowered with the Holy Spirit to test these things. So when we're saying that we're Christ-centered, we're not experience-centered. Thank God for experiences, but those experiences point me to Christ. I'm not preacher-centered. Thank God for preachers, but they are there to facilitate my relationship with Jesus. If the preacher's drawing attention to himself as the preacher, and you need to hear me, and you need to do this or else, you know, like I said, you better find, if you feel that, you better run the other direction. You've always got the freedom and the ability to check things out for yourself. You do. You always do. Always, always, always. You're free to do that. Preachers, praise God for them. It's our first scripture. They're there to help establish us, that we're not tossed to and fro, but that we can also hear what the Spirit of God is saying in our own hearts. And so here's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as the spiritual people, but as the carnal, as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still unable, for you're still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, and the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul didn't give the increase. Apollos didn't give the increase. God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And that spirit should be behind ministries that you're following. That's what it means to be Christ-centered and Christ-centric. Everybody, and I'll just say this, even cults and tangents and things that I've seen through the years, and for me it's been about 30 years as I've been just observing things, everybody wraps themselves up in what I call the Jesus wrapper. We're just all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I hope you are. But when somebody says, we're just all about Jesus, that means nothing to me. I'm listening to your words. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm listening to your heart. Is it pointing me to Jesus? People can say they're just all about Jesus, but watch the broadcast and do what I say, da 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 da. No. If you're all about Jesus, the spirit behind that ministry, the spirit behind that word is going to point me to Jesus, to want Jesus. I know I'm talking tough today. I know I'm talking, but I'm telling you, there's times that you need it. There's times when you need the finger point. Because this is serious stuff. When you get off on this stuff, you can get off on tangents that'll take you down dark places for years. And I've seen people sometimes never get back on track. This is kind of urgency stuff. Test the spirit. There's nothing more. And I've been down these paths myself. And again, when you're pastoring a charismatic type church, everybody's got their conference, their tape series, their books, and all that kind of stuff. And they come to church and they wonder if pastor's going to hit every wall their points right. Oh my goodness, pastor just said that, and that totally contradicts tape series number 5 of my favorite series. Doesn't he know? Lord, you've made me wiser than all my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. That's all right, I'll pray for Pastor Ed. Let me just say some of this. I've been on both sides of this, all right? And it is fine. I'm saying you can know things that Pastor Ed doesn't know. Absolutely, no doubt about it. You can absolutely know things and get things. But I'm just saying, when you begin to get a spirit and it begins to take you out of the body of Christ, it begins to take you out of the local church because you're too spiritual, you're just getting isolated by the enemy. I have found that people tend to get more spiritual the longer they stay out of church. Have you noticed that? Really, church is just for us hypocrites who just come here doing our best to try to get fed the Word of God and go on in God. And these are tactics that are common to man. Don't ever let the enemy do anything or speak anything into your heart that takes you out of the church. We need each other. We're a body. There's a supply that you have. There's a supply that I have. And there's a growth that happens as we come together. But am I Christ-centered? I'll tell you what, it's going to point me to Christ. It's going to cause me to fall in love deeper with Jesus. Praise God. And that minister will give me the freedom to pray things out and search things out. Thank God for people who divide the Word of God. I thank you, Lord. I'll take all that Word that you did the work to divide. Thank God for it. But I'll take it and I'll check it out for myself. Praise God. Praise God. A few closing scriptures. He continues the thought here when he says, therefore let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos and Cephas, or the word or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, resources for you. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. In other words, it's fine to have your favorite preachers and teachers and things, but you're not theirs. They are yours. And anytime a minister is where you become theirs, no, they are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. I thank God. When I choose to submit myself to a local church, praise God, I'm there because God has led me there to submit myself to that church. You know? And I am there as long as God has me there. And I thank God for the precious resources that I have that I can glean from. But ultimately, I am Christ's. None of those guys went to the cross. Christ went to the cross. They're teachers and preachers. Paul was very clear about who they were. They're there, but God gives the increase. Like we said, I preach something. If you got it, it's because God in you bore witness that it's right and true. That's God giving the increase, and He gets the glory for that. Praise God. But the Spirit, when I say test the Spirit, just is the Spirit behind this thing really causing and cultivating a deeper dependency on my walk with Jesus or on that ministry? It's there to facilitate my walk with Christ. And so, how to test the spirits? Do you have the freedom to be Spirit-led? Does it produce the fruit of love, loyalty to the truth, Christ-centered? Just a couple scriptures I wanted to... Just kind of some parting scriptures here, and we'll be completely done with our series. But the Apostle Paul says, as some closing words to the Thessalonians, he said, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Another translation, test, improve all things until you can recognize what is good. Hold fast. Abstain from what is evil. Shrink from it. Keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. The message says, on the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. Keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. That's a good word. And then finally, the scripture that I had from 1 John, it just says, these things, this is 1 John 2, 26-27. These things I have written to you concerning those, in other words, he makes the context, concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you've received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Praise God. The message says, I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, but they are no match for what is embedded deeply within you. Christ's anointing, no less. You don't need any of their so-called teaching. Christ's anointing teaches you the truth on everything you need to know about yourself and Him, uncontaminated by a single lie. Live deeply what you were taught. So, how to test the spirits. These are some guidelines. These are some guidelines that we should be able, that whether it's a ministry or teachings or books or things like that, we want to make sure that the spirit behind them really carries these qualities. Can I check in on the inside? I mean, I've just kind of heard recently teaching where the leading of the Holy Spirit is absolutely mocked. That's horrible. No, you have an anointing. Those who would try to deceive you would mock the anointing that's in you. Anybody who can't give you the freedom to listen on the inside? No. You don't want that. Produces the fruit of love. In other words, how's that working out for you? Have you had to double up on your meds since you've walked in this doctrine? Well, ding, ding, ding. You might want to just think, is this really working good for me? Or am I really going another direction of freedom? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He didn't even say it would make you right. He said it would make you free. 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 Do you have peace where you didn't have peace before? Do you have joy where you didn't have joy before? That's a good sign. You're on the right track. Good stuff. Loyalty to the truth. Or be the ability to search the scriptures. Make sure it divides out with the scripture. If there are scriptures that seem to contradict it, that's a big deal. And just because somebody gives you an explanation for their scriptures that seem to contradict it, you got to make sure that you're satisfied on the inside with that explanation. Having an explanation doesn't mean that it's rightly divided. Make sure that you're satisfied with the explanation, that it really makes sense with the continuity of Scripture. Really, one of the first rules of Bible interpretation is you take all the Scripture on a given subject together and you see what it has to say about that subject. You don't isolate a certain Scripture and build a doctrine on that. All the Scripture should reconcile because it's all the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And then finally, Christ-centered. And what does that mean? I'll tell you, the heart of that ministry is going to point you to Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Going to make you love and appreciate Jesus like never before. Whether they're godly experiences, they're going to point you to Jesus and say, praise God, Jesus cares, Jesus loves, He knows me. You know, if it's preachers, teachers, ministers of the Word of God, it's going to be divided in a way that says, wow, I can hardly wait to have my quiet time today. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. So, how to test the spirits. These, again, are just some guidelines. Again, just kind of some tough talk this morning, I know. But it's the kind of stuff that needs to be said, and there's nothing I can just tell you. I've been on that side of the aisle longer than I've been up here, all right? And I can just say in the short time I've been up here, you know, 12, 13 years or so, there's nothing more heartbreaking than seeing people who've come to Christ, who love God, and are going on, and all of a sudden kind of get a glazed look in their eyes, and they're too good to, and they're off. It's like, oh, God. And you kind of look this up. And even as a minister, I've said, I wish I would have preached some of this stuff sooner. But I'm preaching it now. Praise God. So get it. Jesus is your Lord and nobody else is your Lord. And He's put His Spirit on the inside to lead and guide you into all truth. Thank God for the ministries. Thank God for ministry gifts. They are yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's. Praise God, but keep things in perspective. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that the spirit and the heart of this message just goes into each one here this morning. Lord, that we would realize this personal relationship with Jesus is very personal. It is very real. And there is only one who loves me, that can love me the way You love me, and that is You. Jesus, nothing can separate me from the love You have for me. I pray, Lord, these truths that we talked about over the last 3 weeks, that they would just go deep into our hearts, that we would be guarded, purposely guarded, that we would check things out, that we would prove all things, that we would test the spirits. It's not critical and wrong. It is a responsibility. And I pray, Father, for each one here to realize their freedom to do just that. Bless each one. I thank You for all the precious walks of faith that are represented in this place this morning, for the amazing things that You've brought them through, from the amazing experiences that they've had in You, real good, amazing, beautiful experiences in You. Father, I pray that You will just take them from glory to glory to glory by the Spirit of God. Give each one of us that discernment, that Holy Spirit that smells the counterfeit, that teleprompts us. Lord, we will let it through, and we will stay on track with You, with Your grace, with Your Spirit. We thank You for it, Father God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I won't be deceived. I'll test the spirits. I'll check on the inside by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness to all truth, teaching me all things. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being my protection. Lord, I'll check the fruit. I'll honestly evaluate the effect that ministries are having on me. Are they causing fruit in my life? Or pain? Or flesh? Or hatred? I will honestly check the fruit. And I'll look to your word. Every teaching into captivity to the word of God, to the whole word of God, rightly divided truth that accords with godliness and the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. Christ-centered teaching that makes you the center. I thank you for ministry gifts. I thank you for spiritual gifts that feed me, that encourage me. But my focus is always on you. For I am yours. I have been bought with a price. And you're the one who paid that price. Lord Jesus, today is my day. The day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you, Lord Jesus, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.